tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. I'll be bringing you Western programs in this hour. Later on, a 1954 broadcast of Gunsmoke. But right now, it's Fort Laramie with Captain Lee Quince, portrayed by Raymond Burr, in the CBS broadcast from March 11th, 1956, called Hattie Pelfrey.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Mr. Seibert! Mr. Seibert!
Yes, Captain?
You're wasting our fire at this range. Pass the word. Men are to flank the canyon, dig in, and hold their position.
And their fire, sir?
Cease fire.
But they'll think we've quit, sir.
I hope they do, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir. Captain? What about your leg?
It's fine. Now pass the word, Mr. Seibert.
Right away, sir. Cease fire!
Gorse!
Sergeant Gorse!
Yo!
I'm right here, Captain.
Give me a hand. Behind that boulder.
Yes, sir. Can you bear weight on that leg?
I can get behind that boulder.
Are you easy now, sir?
Don't know when I've been more comfortable.
If you're dry, I got part of a canteen here.
No, save it. You'll need it.
Captain, there's a clearing about 100 yards back. We got the horses back there. Harrison and me together would get you there.
I'm fine here, Sergeant.
Well, you'd rest a mite easier there, sir.
Maybe you ought to take up nursing, Gorse. You're developing a fine manner for it.
Well, sir, I reckon it's all this easy living. It's kind of got me soft.
Go back to your position, Sergeant, and dig in.
Flanking the canyon this way, you must be figuring them Injuns will try another run through.
No use 40 men spreading thin against 200 or 300 Arapaho.
Yes, sir.
Go on back, Gorse. Send Lieutenant Seibert here.
Right, sir.
Lieutenant? Lieutenant Seibert.
You set for me, sir?
Men have their orders.
All down the line.
How about ammunition?
We've enough, sir.
What's enough?
Well, sir, I think...
Enough to lead a charge down the canyon and run them off?
No, I don't believe so.
Enough to hold our ground here and stand off an assault?
That would depend on the size of the assault.
Mr. Seibert's, there are at least 200 Arapaho firing what's left of our camp down there. I want to know if we can hold these positions.
Not long, sir. Not if they turn on us full force.
Then we don't have enough ammunition, do we, Mr. Seibert's?
No, sir, I guess not. What do we do, Captain?
Sit here. Hope they think they wiped us out in their last run through.
That why you ordered the men to hold their fire?
That's why.
They're riding off, Captain.
Don't look like they counted us too important, Captain Quince.
That a complaint, Sergeant?
No, sir. I was born plain insignificant. I mean to stay that way.
Help me get the captain back to the clearing, Sergeant. His leg needs a
Wait a minute, Mr. Seibert's. We can't waste any more daylight. You have 6 hours of good riding left before nightfall.
Sir, you can't ride hard. You've lost a lot of blood.
The patrol's going back to the fort under your command, Mr. Seibert's. Harrison and I'll take it in easy stages.
We can't leave you here,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Seibert, you'll reach Fort Laramie tomorrow night, if you're lucky. Major Daggett needs a full report as soon as possible.
Captain Quince, sir, we could strap you in your saddle.
No need for that, Sergeant. I'd slow you up, and Major Daggett needs that report. Now, send Harrison to me. Prepare to move out.
I know this country better than Harrison, Captain.
Mr. Seibert's will need you, Gorse. This will be good experience for my orderly.
Yes, Captain.
Patrol, report to the clearing. Check your mouth.
Well, good luck, Mr. Seibert.
All right, all
thank you, Captain.
Report to the clearing now.
Good luck to you, sir.
You're all played out, aren't you, sir?
There's fresh water ahead to the left there. That clump of trees.
You can't go on just water, Captain.
A little help. We can water the horses, too.
Not much sunlight left. I hoped we'd find a settler where we could bed down for the night.
This is Arapaho country, Harrison. They routed out most of the settlers.
They sure got a way acting like they own the place, don't they? Running off white men.
They were here first. I guess they got a funny idea that makes it their land.
If we'd have had the whole company back there, we'd have run through them, sure. Showed them whose land it is.
Well, it would take an awful good company. Those were dog soldiers leading that raid.
Dog soldiers?
Toughest fighters in the tribes. Handpicked for the daring. Jote Mintanio.
How's Epson?
That's the Cheyenne name for dog soldiers. But most Plains Indians have a select band like them. Sioux and the Arapaho.
Oh. Guess we were smart to take cover in that canyon, Captain.
Yeah, I guess we were. In through the trees, Harrison. Good grass there by that stream.
I'll be right there to lend a hand, sir.
Stand to steady me as I come over on this leg, Harrison. It won't bear weight.
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh. I guess I'm weaker than I thought.
Now, don't you worry, Captain. I got bull strength. Here, let me help you. Now, you just sit back against this tree. There. How's that, sir?
All right, Harrison. Thanks.
I'll get you some fresh water. You gone all white.
No, I'm all right. I'll ease those cinches and lead the mounts down to the stream and water them. Go on. I just need to catch my breath. Rest a bit.
I sure wish I could make you right comfortable, sir. In bed with food and all.
I know. Mind the horses.
Yes, sir.
Harrison. Harrison!
You awake, sir?
I shouldn't have gone to sleep.
You just didn't have no choice, Captain. Once you drank that cool water, you was plumb through.
What's that? Horses?
No, they're not making a sound, sir. I hobbled them before I set out.
Wait a minute. There's horses, all right. Sounds like they're riding this way.
I sure don't hear a thing. Could be you got some fever, Captain Quince. Some folks hear things when they got fever.
You keep listening and you'll hear them.
Yes, sir. What I was going to say was, while you was resting so easy-like, I set out and took a look around. There's a cabin, sir, not more than a couple of hundred yards away.
They're coming from the north.
Yeah, I can hear them now. Could be cavalry, Captain. They move south long ahead of us.
Not cavalry. Look through the trees.
Injuns.
Dog soldiers.
Captain, we better make for that cabin.
No. We're better off here. Trees will hide us. Unless they already know we're here. Lie flat, Harris. If they start through the trees, fire.
Can you handle that carbine, sir?
Yeah, I can.
They're making for us, sir. Sure we're seeing them.
Wait them out.
They're right at the tree, Captain.
Easy.
I'm sure not keen on them seeing me first.
Shut up, Harris. They're riding right along the tree line. Going on south.
I can't make them out anymore. You see them?
Now they've gone on past the thicket. I can't see them.
Man, that was closer.
Still close. They stopped.
You want I should get our horses, sir?
I do not. Can you hear them?
They ain't moving as I can tell. I counted six, Captain.
Six. That cabin, where is it?
Near as I can tell, that's where they are, sir. It's that direction, not more than a couple hundred yards away. Oh, I tell you, sir, that's a welcome sound.
You were talking about a deserted cabin, Harrison?
Not a living thing around. Likely been that way for years.
Well, you have to near carry me. I can't mount again.
Just you don't worry yourself, Captain. I'll take right good care of you. Not 10 more steps. You can make it, sir.
I don't know, Harrison.
You just lean heavy now. We'll get there. You make out fine.
You come no closer.
Well, ma'am, there's no cause for shooting. We're your kind, white folk.
I'll judge about the shooting. What ails him?
He's all shot up and weak. Ma'am, I'm not even asking for a hand, but I got to put him down inside.
Army?
The 2nd Cavalry, Fort Laramie.
Yes, I think I...
Captain Wimps! Captain, you all right, sir?
Is he dead?
No, ma'am, not yet. Would you just try to help? Put that shotgun down and help a body?
How are you on food?
Oh, tin of jerky, maybe.
Blankets? Shot? You got anything?
I got an awful sick captain here, ma'am. That's what I got. And I'm lifting him up right now and taking him in there.
How much money you got?
I don't know. A little.
Hand it over.
Once we inside...
I tell you, son, I'd as soon shoot the both of you as jaw this way. I want your money and your guns.
I don't rightly know how you stand yourself.
His money, too.
I'm bringing him inside now.
Not for long. For this little bit of money.
Open this door for me.
You're another weakling, are you?
My arm's full of logs.
Get them by the stove and quit your whimpering. Soft bellies, a lot of you.
How is he?
Ask him. He's only pretending to sleep.
Captain?
You can't fool her, Harrison. Don't try.
Oh, you gave me a fright, sir. I wasn't sure you was going to come around.
I'll be all right.
She get the bullet?
Yeah. Yeah, she got it.
I see new cubs with tougher hide.
Captain, she took everything we had. Jerky, guns, money. What kind of white woman is she?
Best quiet him. I buried 4 husbands, 20 children. A couple of strangers don't faze me.
Better get some sleep, Harrison. She says you watched me all night.
You sure you're all right?
I'm fine. Now go to sleep. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
husbands, man?
Outlived them. But they was men, regular men. Didn't go around sirring every other man and ma'aming women folk.
Yeah, they weren't in the army.
Yeah, indeed they wasn't. No call for the army in those days. Mr. Palfrey and me lived as peaceable as could be with the Indian folk. We come here peaceable, me and Mr. Palfrey.
When was that?
In the 30s.
Things are different then.
No different than with Mr. Griffith, Mr. Albright, and later on with Mr. Netherton. Yeah, there was lessons to learn in the West in them days. Eat the porridge.
Much obliged, ma'am.
Hattie.
How's that?
Hattie, I say. Hattie Palfrey, I go by that. I can't abide being called ma'am.
Oh.
I lean toward Hattie.
Hattie, you live alone, middle of Arapaho country. How do you manage?
I come by your guns. Such little money you had. Sometimes it's food, sometimes robes. I'll take what I can get. No matter to me if it's settlers or scouts or army folks.
Or Arapaho.
Folks don't find Hattie less than they lost or half dead. It'd open your eyes to see what they part with.
You always greet them with a shotgun.
If need be.
Before we came here last evening, a band of Arapaho braves stopped here.
I got good arrows, strong bows, rifles. Even a couple of buffalo guns off a hunter broke his leg down the canyon.
They got a camp near here, the Arapaho?
You got something more to give me?
Harrison said you cleaned us out.
You're getting full measure.
What's going on? My ring. Hey, you can't have that.
But I got it. I ain't had a pretty first spell, and that's a fact.
A man ain't safe sleeping here. I bought that ring myself in St. Louis.
Oh, it'll fit fine once I wrap some twine around it. Body's fingers thin with age.
Next you'll be picking my bones, you old buzzard.
Mind your tongue!
Give him his ring back, Hattie.
Not likely.
Captain Quince, what says you can't hit an old woman when she's so contrary?
Oh, for one thing, she's got a shotgun.
I'd soon use it as jaw with you.
You take his ring, you give us something, Hattie.
I do admire a pretty. Clean forgot the bright feeling they give you.
Our gun's for the ring, Hattie. That's fair.
I come by your horses down the creek this morning. They're grazing on my grass, swilling my water. The pretty's to pay for that.
Captain, I better see to them mounts.
You'll stay with the sick and ailing. I'll see to the horses.
You saying he can't leave the cabin?
Not alive, he can't.
Why, you...
She means it, Harrison.
I do that. Now, I've got tending to do. Outside. No need peering around for your rifles whilst I'm gone. You won't find them.
Captain Quince, we gotta move out of here.
Well, we need horses to do it. Here. You steady me.
You ain't fit to stand yet, sir.
Just you stand still. Yeah. We'd have to crawl once we're outside anyway. I can manage to the door.
Like as not, she's just crouched out there waiting for us.
It's worth a chance. We may not get another.
Yes, sir.
Get the door. Get on your belly. Move small through this brush. Toward the stream. Can you see her?
No, sir.
Stream. How far is it?
A good 50 yards. Maybe more.
I don't see the horses.
Not yet, sir.
Flatten, Harrison. It's a Arapaho.
She come out of those trees by the water, sir.
She's talking to them Indians.
Don't even breathe. She's going back toward the trees.
Yeah. But they ain't a sign of our horses, sir.
No sense trying to go it without them. We'll have to go back.
To the cabin?
Without guns or horses, we're no good out here, Harrison. Come on.
What you reckon? She's done with them, Captain.
That woman, she might have eaten them.
I'll steady you for the walk, sir.
I'd give a lot for some of her strength right now.
You think I could find them alone?
Get yourself killed doing it? It's no good, Harrison. We'll have to wait.
You're just about as foolish as can be, ain't you? Crawling around in the brush out there. What's the idea?
Fresh air, Hattie.
You got no guns, no food. There's a Arapaho all around. You don't think too good of your hides, do you?
Where are the horses, Hattie?
Your color's coming back some.
You heard the captain. What about the horses?
They come right high in these parts, young'un. I could get me a passel of things. Trading horses.
You're real friendly with the Arapaho, Hattie.
They treat me good. Of course, they know Mr. Pelfrey and me come peaceable to their country. Not to run them off what rightly is their land.
You never seen them at the killing? White women, babies, no matter to them.
Ever ask yourself who started it all? I seen it happen. The whites and their guns moving in. Wasn't pretty work they did. Women and children, too.
They let you live here. Gotta be a reason.
He come here like you, full of shot, ailing. White men's doing. Mr. Pelfrey and me, we took him in, tended him. He was a young chief then. Standing bear, never forgot. Not in all these years. He's as near to a relation I got.
You're from another age, Hattie. You and Standing Bear.
You got anyone? A wife?
No wife.
Mother, then.
I got her memory. A pair of her earrings, that's all.
Not on you. I'd have found them.
They're back at Fort Laramie.
Oh, that's a pity. Yeah, that's a pity.
Without waking her?
I can't make out good with no light. But I can fight an old woman in the dark.
Not long till sunup. This may be our last chance. Easy now.
Now that's just close enough. Stealing up on an old woman. What kind of men are you? I don't mind shooting. A bit.
You're a witch. That's what you are. Seeing in the dark, hearing? You no kind of woman at all.
Maybe not now, young'un. But I was once. More woman than you could imagine.
Now shut up, both of you. Someone's coming.
Come earlier than I said.
It's probably them same Indians again, Captain.
Yeah?
Now get back where you belong. Over there, to your beds.
Captain, I had my gun, I'd blow us all up before I'd let them take us.
I know. Maybe I'd help you.
She's out there right now, trading for us. You know that.
Get ready, someone's coming.
Now, that side of beef will last me the winter and more. Gift for my friend, Standing Bear.
For us, Hattie?
Now then, you're worth a sight more than that.
They're riding off, Captain.
You sparing us, Hattie? For what?
Sparing you?
You didn't tell them about us.
They didn't ask.
You acting human so sudden-like. After near scaring us to death.
I ain't gonna miss this young'un, that's a fact. I'd soon keep company with a bawling calf. I tell you, I'm bone brittle with you two around.
Well, we'd be glad to get out of your way. Trade for guns, our horses, and a cut of your new beef.
Been thinking about them ear bobs.
I've been thinking about our guns.
Under my bed. These two horses saddled at the spring. Now, them ear bobs.
They're back at Fort Laramie, Hattie. You mean to ride back with us?
I gotta watch who I'm seen with.
Yeah. Well, I might get back your way someday. If I do, I'll bring them to you.
For these old ears. Well, here, young'un. Pretty as ain't for me. Not no more.
I'll take my ring, ma'am. And thank you. But I ain't even pretending to understand you.
If you was regular men, you'd find yourself a woman. Pretties don't belong on a man's hand. Locked up at no fort. Now, us women folk, it gives us that bright feeling, having a pretty.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, and John Daner.
Company, attention! Dismissed.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 11, 1956 on CBS. In that broadcast, Hattie Pelfrey was portrayed by the very talented and seasoned radio actress Virginia Gregg, who made such a mark during that broadcast that her character was brought back months later in September of 1956 in a broadcast called The Return of Hattie Pelfrey. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark LeVonier. Now on to Gunsmoke with the story Mr. and Mrs. Amber. The CBS episode, directed by Fort Laramie director Norman MacDonald, first heard on April 3, 1954.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
You mind stopping in Jonas's store down here? Won't take long.
What are you going to buy, Doc? Another deployment?
diploma to hang on your wall.
Oh, another diploma to hang on. Oh, man. Well, anybody can shoot bullets into people the way you do. Yeah, sure, but what takes real brains is digging them back out.
Between the two of us, though, we managed to make a good living, don't we?
Oh, yeah, sure, barely. Just barely.
Hello, Marshal.
Mr. Jonas.
All right, Jonas.
What can I do for you?
I'm looking for a saw.
You were looking for a saw, Doc?
And some nails, Mr. Jonas.
Sure, Doc, sure. I have to fetch them from the storeroom out back.
Oh, say, Matt, look at that.
What?
He's got a batch of new derbies in.
Oh, those are pretty fancy.
Yeah. Oh, they are fancy.
Here! Stop there!
What's that?
Here, stay here, Doc.
He's over there behind them barrels, Marshal.
Who is?
I don't know, but I'll shoot him dead if he moves.
Don't kill me. I ain't armed.
All right, come out of there. With your hands up.
Neil Amber.
It's me.
I can't believe it, Amber.
I was going to pay you later.
Pay me later? You're on my books now for over $300 and stealing from me on top of that. Marshal, I want this man arrested.
Were you stealing, Amber?
No, I never stole nothing in my life. I was going to pay him later.
Then what was you doing running off with that sack of seeds?
I had to have them seeds, Mr. Jonas. I got to raise something. My wife and I are about to starve out there.
Out where, Amber?
A little patch of land near Pawnee Wells north here, Marshal. It ain't much. We've had nothing but bad luck.
I've been keeping you going for nearly a year, Amber. This is a fine show of gratitude.
How can I pay unless I raise something?
The man's desperate, Mr. Jonas.
But he owes me money too, Matt, but I don't hold with stealing to pay off your debt.
I'll pay you, Doc. Someday I will. But right now, we got nothing.
Now that's good land up there, Amber. What's been your trouble?
Oh, everything, Marshal. First, I raised a little corn, and then Pete Fletcher's cattle busted in and ruined it. And then Mrs. Amber's goats got swelled up and died. She had two of them. She always wanted goats. All her life she wanted them. And then some mean devil shot one of my horses. And I don't know what all, Marshal. We just ain't making out very good.
That's still no excuse for thieving, Amber. You throw him into jail, Marshal.
Amber, you take your seeds and go on home.
What?
Put them on my bill, Mr. Jonas.
You mean you're going to turn him loose?
Go on, Amber.
Oh, thank you, Marshal. I won't forget this.
It's a fine thing when the law starts encouraging crime. I hold you as guilty as he is, Marshal Dillon.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
You know something, Mr. Dillon?
What, Chester?
If the government would come through with a little expense money, I got an idea.
Now, the government won't even supply me with ammunition, Chester. But go ahead.
Well, sir, if we bought two or three buffalo hides and sewed them together...
Yeah.
We could make a nice rug for this office. Then it wouldn't make so much noise, people tromping around like they do.
Yeah, Chester. Well, I'll have to take that up with Washington. But in the meantime, you work on some other ideas, huh?
Yes, sir, I will, Mr. Dillon. And I got a... I got a one...
Hello, Marshal. Chester.
Well, it ain't Pete Fletcher.
Hello, Pete.
Marshal, I heard about your refusing to arrest Neil Amber yesterday.
Oh? It seems like a lot of people have.
I'm a cattleman, Marshal. I got no use for sod busters, especially when they don't know when to quit like them Ambers.
There's room enough out here for everybody, Pete.
Not for thieves, there ain't.
Well, I don't think Amber will try to steal anything again.
I come to tell you you're wrong, Marshal.
Why?
One of my riders, Jim Baird, found a calf in Amber's shed. It had been stole, slaughtered, and half-skunned.
One of your calves?
Wearing my brand. Baird's standing guard over right now.
Look, Peek, the Ambers are nearly starving. What's one calf to you?
Is there a law against cattle thieving, Marshal, or ain't there?
Yeah, there is.
Well, then do something about it.
All right, I'll ride out and have a look.
I want that woman arrested, Marshal.
Woman?
Well, it happened yesterday while he was in town. It had to be her. If Mrs. Amber wasn't a woman, I'd have shot her.
Hey,
My cast in the shed right over there, Marshal.
I don't see the Ambers around anywhere.
Yeah,
I
told Barrett to make them stay in the house.
You had no right to do that, Peek.
I got a right to protect my property, ain't I?
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go tell the Ambers to come out to the shed here, huh?
All right, sir.
Come on, Peek.
I was thinking you'd never get back, Peek.
This here is Marshal Dillon, Baird.
Where I come from, we hang cow thieves ourselves.
Now, it's been done around here, too, Baird.
Good.
And the man that headed the last lynching got 25 years in prison.
You trying to scare me, Marshal?
I hate lynching, Baird. I hate even the talk of it. Now, where's the cat, Peek?
Right over here, Marshal. He was trying to butcher it on the ground. That man that I hung it up.
There's Peek's brand. Right there. I thought I told you Ambers to stay in the house.
You're not telling anybody anything, Baird. Hello, Amber. Ma'am?
She didn't do this, Marshal.
Would you mind telling us about it, Miss Amber?
Well, Baird can tell you all you need to know, Marshal.
I want to hear what Miss Amber has to say.
I feel guilty, Marshal. They made me feel guilty accusing me this way.
It's hurt her bad, Marshal. My wife's an honest woman.
Oh, if you're innocent, you got nothing to worry about, Miss Amber. Now, you tell me what happened.
Well, Neil was in town. I come out the shed to get a potato from a dinner. And I seen that little calf lying there. And I was standing here looking at it. And then he come in and grabbed me and said I'd stole it. Marshal, they're saying that makes me want to die.
I tracked that calf here and I caught her skinning it, Marshal. She's just trying to work on
it. Nobody's going to believe a couple of thieves.
I know what you're doing, Peek Fletcher, but I ain't leaving this land, not now or ever.
You going to arrest her, Marshal?
Go on back to the house, ma'am.
What?
In my whole life, I never done anything wrong. Now I feel I ought to be hung.
She'd be better off dead than like this.
If she was a man, she would be.
That's
dead,
enough,
Amber.
Baird. I'm not arresting anybody, Peek.
You're calling me and Baird liars, then?
I'm saying there isn't enough evidence. Now, you take your calf and get out of here and leave these people alone.
All right, Marshal. Next time we ain't coming to the law. We'll handle this ourselves.
Evening, Matt.
Well, hello, Kitty.
Matt, I want you to meet Lucinda.
Oh?
She's new here.
Oh, welcome to Dodge, Lucinda.
Kitty's told me a lot about you, Marshal. I was hoping you'd come in tonight.
Where are you from?
Well, I've been in Abilene the past 2 years.
Well, then you must know Bill Hickok over there, huh?
Sure I do. He told me he'd look you up when I got to Dodge. Said you'd keep me out of trouble.
Well, I can't do that, but if you do get into trouble, come see me.
Thanks, Marshal. Mr. Hickok said Dodge is a lot wilder than Abilene. Is that true?
You'll soon be able to judge that for yourself, Lucinda.
Well, I won't be here very long, Marshal. I'm working my way out to California.
You got a man in California, Matt.
Well, fine. I hope you make it, Lucinda.
Thanks, Marshal. I'll see you later.
Sure. Goodbye.
She's a nice girl, Matt.
Well, all girls are, Kitty.
Especially me. Look. I just made $50.
Hey, that's a good night's work, Kitty.
If this keeps up, I'll buy me a house somewhere and retire.
Oh? And do what?
You're probably right, Matt. I've worked ever since I was a little girl. I'd get spooky if I didn't have anything to do.
Well, anyway, I hope you're not going to put your $50 back into the game, Kitty.
No, I'm through with Farrell. I might buy into that poker game a little later, though.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can have Chester's seat in a few minutes. I'm going to put him to work.
Chester was telling me about the Ambers, Matt. I feel awful sorry for that poor woman.
Yeah, so do I, Kitty. But there's nothing I can do about it.
You don't think she's guilty, do you?
Oh, it can't be proven either way, Kitty. Not one way or another, Peak Fletcher's managed to get rid of every nuster anywhere near it.
Except for the Ambers.
Now, like he says, they're pretty stubborn.
Look, Matt.
What?
Isn't this that fellow Baird?
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of hoping he'd busted his neck somewhere.
Evening, Marshal. Ma'am?
It's Miss. Not that it matters.
Okay, Miss. I come by the Amber place today, Marshal. You made a big mistake the other day.
Did I?
You sure did. Remember how Amber kept saying his wife would be better off dead? Well, he's sitting out there now, and he won't even look at you or talk. And the woman ain't nowhere around, Marshal. Amber's gone, killed her. That's what.
Place looks deserted, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, maybe Baird was right. Maybe something has happened to Ms. Amber.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll soon find out. Let's try the house first, Chester.
Yes, sir. Hey, look. The door's wide open.
Yeah. Amber! Hello, is there anybody home? Now, let's take a look inside, Chester.
Well, there he is.
Yeah. Hello, Amber. Are you all right?
Hello, Marshal. It's Chester.
Have you been sitting here like this long?
I don't know.
Well, where's Ms. Amber?
Why, she went away.
Went away? Where?
Yes, she went away back east. Home.
When did she go?
The other day.
Well, did you have an argument with her? Is that why she went away?
I loved her, Marshal. She's all I had.
Yeah. Chester, come outside a minute, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's Amber's horse down there in the corral, and it's the only one he's got.
And by golly, that's right.
I'm going back and try to talk to him. You take a look around, huh? Take a good look, Chester.
Yes, sir, I understand. But I sure hope I don't find nothing.
Well, if you do, come in and tell me.
Yes, sir, I will.
Amber, you want to tell me what happened?
She's gone.
What, did Baird or Peak Fletcher have anything to do with it?
Baird come by yesterday, but he didn't do nothing. I'm ashamed about my wife.
Ashamed? Well, why?
I mean, her not being here. It was too much for her. She just couldn't take it no more. But she shouldn't have gone like that.
How did she go, Emma?
We was married 30 years. I was real proud of her.
Sure, of course you were. But tell me, when she left here, how did she go?
She rode away.
You mean she took your horse?
Yeah. She took my horse.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, did you find anything?
Yes, sir. laying under a blanket right out in the shed. He didn't even bury her. She's been shot, Mr. Dillon.
Amber, who shot your wife?
I couldn't bury her. I couldn't get that near her yet.
Did you shoot her? Tell me.
I shot her, Marshal.
Well, he still won't eat, Mr. Dillon. He's going to die of starvation before they hang him.
He hasn't been tried yet, Chester.
Oh, no, sir.
Just keep bringing his meals in. He'll eat sooner or later.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Peake. Baird.
I guess you'll believe me next time I tell you something, Marshal, huh?
What do you want here?
When are they going to hang Amber? When and if a judge in a court of law says so, he'll hang. Meantime, I'm going to burn down that house and shed of his before some other nester takes a notion to move into the place.
Yeah, you do that, Peake. Yeah, you do that, and I'll throw you in jail.
What?
You've done enough to Amber, you and Baird.
You accusing me of anything direct, Marshal?
If I could, I'd have you both tried.
Careful what you're saying.
Now get out of here. Both of you.
Come on, Baird. Leave one any way you look at it.
What'll it be? A glass of beer, I guess, Sam.
Sure. Hey, Marshal.
Yeah.
That fella Baird over there has been making a lot of talk about you.
Yeah, Peake Fletcher, too, probably.
Not like Baird.
It's okay, Sam.
I thought you ought to know.
Thanks.
I'll get you a beer, Marshal.
Hey, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, what's the matter, Chester?
Neil Amber, he's gone.
What?
I unlocked his cell to bring him some supper. Then I guess went off and forgot to lock it up again. Anyway, he took a rifle.
Well, let's go find it.
Wait, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Look, there he is. Over there by Baird.
Yeah, come on.
Baird, I'm going to kill you.
Hold it, Amber. All right, put that gun away, Peake.
He killed Baird, Marshal. He was going to kill me.
You shoot him again, and I'll kill you. He's unarmed now.
I ain't going to shoot him.
Yeah, hit him right in the chest.
Marshal.
Chester, go get Doc quick.
Yes,
sir. Now, Amber, Doc will be here in just a minute.
He can't help me. This is going to save me from hanging, Marshal. Had it been an even worse disgrace.
Worse? What? Worse than what?
Come close, Marshal.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody else to know. But my wife. I didn't shoot her.
She killed herself. Is that it?
That made me terrible ashamed, Marshal. I'd have hung rather than everybody noted. You won't tell, will you?
No. No, Amber, I won't tell.
Thank you, Marshal. You've been good to me.
Oh.
dead, huh? Well, you ought to thank me, Marshal. Saved the law, the expense of a rope. He didn't kill his wife, Peek.
What?
You did. You're trying to devil him off that land, making her look like a thief did it. You killed her. And I'd see you hung for it if I could.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonnell, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Lawrence Dobkin, and John Daner, with Harry Bartell, Helen Klebe, Francis Drew, and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Gunsmoke, on June 2 yesterday from April 3, 1954, on CBS. The script would be used again during their second to last year on the network in February of 1960. And that will bring the curtain down on this hour of Westerns on June 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.